people who are included and there are people who are excluded from this tracing the lineage and genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm trying to get to verse 21, but I got to go through a lot of difficult reading to get there. So if you think I've mispronounced a word, you're probably right. But I'm going to give you the Hebrew name instead of the Greek name that is written in. There's several of those that it changes drastically the spelling and pronunciation of their names. Let us pray. Lord, we come before you this morning with your word opened in front of us. We beg through the merit and blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, that you would come help us this day to understand what we read, to understand to some extent why you include some things in a chapter like this and some other things you exclude, that we might have an understanding, a spiritual, God-given understanding, why this book says some things and leaves out others. And why is it that in our natural state, no man can understand this book nor the God who sent it? All but in your grace, by the power of your Holy Spirit, by an act, a miraculous act of God the Holy Ghost being born again, this book takes on new meaning. And as we come to this passage that leads to the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, give us a desire to understand these words. And give this backward preacher an ability to state clearly and plainly what we read in these verses and to apply them to ourselves and to our precious Lord Jesus Christ. We cast ourselves upon your mercy. Nothing in us, nothing done by us, nothing to be done by us can affect these things. We beg for your sovereign mercy and grace poured out freely on hell-deserving sinners, and such we truly are. We beg in our Savior's name. Amen. All right, here we go. Of all mornings for the light to go out above, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judah and his brethren, and Judah begat Phares, and Zerah of Tamar, and Phares begat Esram, and Esram begat Aram, and Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Naasson, and Naasson begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. I'm going to come back to those few statements. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David. The kingdom, David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah, namely Bathsheba. And Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abia, and Abia begat Asa, and Asa begat Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Uzziah, and Uzziah begat Jotham, and Jotham begat Ahaz, and Ahaz begat Ezekias, and Ezekias begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Ammon, and Ammon begat Josiah, and Josiah begat Jeconiah and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon for that long extended captivity. And after they were brought to Babylon, did they lose sight of this genealogy? Not at all. It continued. Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zorobabel, and Zorobabel begat Abiad, and Abiad begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azor, and Azor begat Sadoc, and Sadoc begat Achim, and Achim begat Eliad, and Eliad begat Eliezer, and Eliezer begat Mathan, and Mathan begat Jacob, and Joseph. Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David to the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother, Mary, was engaged, that's what that word means in our language, we'd call it being engaged to be married, was engaged to Joseph before they came together, and she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But when he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, you son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For here's what that word means, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, namely Isaiah. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. So it is Jesus Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. In Christ, God is with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not in a sexual sense. He knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And Joseph called his name Jesus. I want to work on that verse 21, but before I do, I need to point out some things that you may not have picked up on. In the third verse of Matthew 1, we run into the name of one by the name of, in the New Testament it's Thamar, but in the Old Testament it's Tamar. Anyway, she and Phares committed incest in giving birth. To Ezram, I believe, would be the... I didn't look it up in Genesis to verify that. Then in verse 5, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab the harlot. And it is significant, first of all, that women's names even made their way into this genealogy. But to find out that several of them, you know, had a really... blacklist by their name. One of incest, the other a prostitute in the city of Jericho. But she hid the spies that Joshua had sent into that city before they attacked it. And she was spared and her family were spared as a result thereof. So Boaz, Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. She's a Moabite woman that came back with what's her name from the country of Moab, having lost her husband and two of her sons. And look what happens to Ruth. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David the king. And David the king begat Solomon. Now what's the next statement after Solomon? Of her that had been the wife of Uriah. With whom... David and she committed adultery. David even conspired and carried it out to have her husband killed in battle, which certainly took place. And yet, she's in the genealogy of Christ. Well, she's got as much right to be there as David. So there are a lot of little things that we normally would not pick up on. I hope that is helpful. I don't know about it. But, all right, we'll go to verse 21. Matthew chapter 1. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He didn't come to put away everybody's sin. He came to put away the sins of God's elect. Christ's sheep. His people. His people. Curtis was dealing this morning with that word us. And I was hoping, I was kept expecting him to say something that I've said to you many times in the past. Betty and I grew up in a very remote place called Sampson County, Lower Sampson, and it's definitely on the wrong side of the tracks. Anyway, there's a little tiny, little wide spot in the road that happened to have a railroad going through it. And there were two stores in that little place. And somebody opened a store and put a sign on it that says, Us's Store. I don't think you've ever seen one like that, but I have. It's no longer there, but I still remember. But now, not everybody is a part of that us. I assume two or three different people, you know, pool their resources and open the store. I don't know. That place is called Carr Station, North Carolina. And if it weren't for the railroad, it wouldn't be anything there but one little tiny road. And hardly anything else now, but at one time it was
a lot busier than it is presently. But this identifying who Christ's people are is very, very important. It is most important for us to find out if we are a part of this us that the Scripture, especially in the first chapter of Ephesians, has so much to say about. So this name of Jesus is divinely ordered and explained in that one verse. Let me back it up. This statement, "You shall call His name Jesus," is the statement of the angel to Joseph, delivering the message from on high that Joseph is to call this boy's name Jesus, even though it's objected to at the time that they circumcise the child at 8 years old. There's nobody in their family that's ever been called by this name. And they question it. And both Mary as well as Joseph say, "His name is Jesus." And for a long time, you could hardly find a human being that had the audacity to give that name to one of their offspring. But I'm sure with all that's taken place in recent memory, as especially among the Spanish, you know, everybody's brother's got somebody named Jesus. And it's just a sign of the time. I know one thing, there ain't but one Jesus of the Bible. He made this world and all things therein. He rules this world every single day, every second of every day. So our Lord is given a double name in this passage. He is Jesus Emmanuel. Jesus, God with us. To have Christ is to have God. Not to have Christ, you can't have God. He reveals Himself in His Son. He blesses us through His Son. In God's sight, Christ is everything. And if we have a lick of sense, He'll be everything to us. I know one thing for sure. Nobody but God can save a sinner. And Christ is said to be the Savior of sinners. And yet, our Lord was actually called Jesus by human beings like ourselves, such as Joseph and Mary. It is quite amazing. Just look for just a moment. Let's see. Over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Verse 21. Luke 2:21. "And when 8 days were accomplished..." Why 8 days? Because the Old Testament, when circumcision was instituted, commanded people to circumcise their male children when they reached 8 days old. Science has found that the blood clotting agent in the blood is the greatest on the 8th day of a person's life than it ever was before or since. And here's what it says. "And when 8 days," this is verse 21, Luke chapter 2, "and when 8 days were accomplished to the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angels before he was conceived in the womb." That's an important
statement regarding our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So our Lord was actually called Jesus by human beings living on this earth. All the apostles referred to Him in this language. All the writers of Scripture have certainly referred to Him that cover this particular subject and this particular name. Now the third thing, that was two already there. The first one is, this name is divinely ordered and explained. And the second one was that our Lord was actually called Jesus by human beings like ourselves. Thirdly, this name has been typically worn by others. For example, in the Old Testament, the book of Joshua. Joshua is the Hebrew name for Jesus. And Jesus is the Greek name for the Hebrew word Joshua. If you just think about Joshua for a minute, Jehovah is salvation. Call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. And there are other times in the Scripture when characters, particularly in the Old Testament, had this particular name, this particular one. There was a high priest under the time of Ezra and Zechariah that was named Joshua. And as an aside, there's a statement. I'm not going to tell you the text. I'm just going to turn to it if I marked it. I'm not sure I did. I hope I did. Yes. I'll have to tell you the reference after I read this. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would He not afterward have spoken of another day? Now this is not properly translated when it uses the word Jesus in this verse of Scripture. I mean, my margin tells me, my concordance tells me, Robert Hawker tells me, and I don't remember how many more. This is actually speaking of Joshua. If Joshua had given the children of Israel the rest that can only be found in Christ, why look for Him afterwards if you already have Him? This is in Hebrews 4 and verse 8. All right, let's... So this name has been typically worn by others, and now it is reserved for our Lord Jesus Christ alone. Number four, the name Jesus identifies Christ with His people. A Christ without a people is no Christ. He's the husband. He's the head of His church. If He's bereft of His children, what is He but an absolute failure? It is imperative. It cannot be changed. Christ has always had, from every generation of men to live on the face of this earth, Christ has always had a people. Throughout the whole of the Old Testament, throughout the history of time, until this world is wrapped up and is no more. So this name identifies our Lord Jesus Christ. So as a part of that one point, I would like to ask some questions and make some comments. Who are these people that belong to Christ? Who are they? Who are they? This is elementary, I understand, but it has to be stated. Without exception, every last one of Christ's bride, of His sheep, of His church, every last one of them need to be saved.
Not one of them can save themselves. So when people talk about loving Jesus, and they don't even know they've ever been lost, if they talk about loving God, when they've never found out that they're born hating God, something's wrong. Terribly, terribly wrong. The gospel is for sinners. And nobody but sinners. And we might add, if we truly get the picture, the gospel is made for the chief of sinners. And Paul the Apostle was quick to put himself in that category. No wonder it says that Jesus means He shall save His people from their sins. We must be washed in the Savior's blood, or there's no remission or putting away of sin. Some people are kind of shy when it comes to talking about blood, but this must be for every one of God's elect. It is an exception. I know some really big guys that I can take one of my insulin needles and do like that, and they just wilt. But I'm telling you, when it comes to the gospel, without the blood of Christ being shed in our behalf, we will perish. We cannot do otherwise. This modern hymnals are rapidly taking this out of the hymn books. But the editors of the hymn books, they didn't start this mess. They're simply reflecting what they're hearing preached. And I'm telling you that this country at one time believed the God of the Bible and worshiped the God of the Bible. And then gradually, slowly, it began to erode. And it started in the pulpit. I know because I was born and raised on that false gospel. And I'm thankful to God for being delivered. So the question is, do we need saving? We must be washed in the Savior's blood. The link between my soul and Christ is not my goodness, but my badness. It's not my merit, but my misery. It's not my standing, it's my falling. It's not my riches, it's my poverty. It's not my beauty, it's my deformities. Not to reward my virtues, but to forgive my sins. Forgive my sins. People who do not see themselves sinners cannot know the God of the Bible. Simply can't. Never have. Not in any generation. My soul, the very first two offspring that were born in this world, though it took place out of the garden, between Adam and Eve, she had just had that wonderful promise that said, the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent, referring to Satan. And the very first child that she gave birth to, she said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. The Messiah is here. Oh no. Turned out, this was not the case. Not the case. And then she gave birth to Abel. And Abel turned out to be one of God's elect. And his brother was so jealous of him that he killed him because he refused to worship God as God declares himself to be worshipped. We don't choose the rules and regulations that regard our worship. Number five. The name Jesus declares Christ's main work, which is to save. Now this time I'll give you the scripture reference. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Now if you don't want to turn, that's all right. You won't hurt my feelings one bit. First Peter, chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just or the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. That is a very plain statement indeed. It is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Let me give you one more out of Galatians chapter 3. Now there are statements similar to these all over the New Testament. It's not hard to find. If you'll just read a few chapters out of your Bibles, you'll run into these glorious statements regarding our precious Savior and Redeemer, the Lord Jesus. All right? Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ has, that's past tense, hath, he has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And yet people who claim to be believers in Christ are boasting that they keep the law. Well, if you can do that, Christ didn't need to die for you. And therefore, you must be lying because no human being except the God-man Christ Jesus has ever kept this law. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. So this word Jesus describes the primary work of our Lord Jesus Christ in coming into this world, in assuming a human nature, in living in this world some 33 years, and then going to the cross and to the grave, and then risen from the grave and ascended to glory. My goodness. Why did he come? Why did he endure such awful treatment at the hands of human beings? Because he came to do what? To save his people from their sins. Now this name is perfectly justified by looking at the facts that are revealed in the New Testament in our Bibles. Spurgeon, in one of his sermons, writes about a person that died and was buried in a cemetery that for some reason, maybe he was conducting a funeral, you know, for somebody in that same graveyard or whatever. But he passed this monument and it just struck his attention. It says, Methuselah Coney. Last name C-O-N-E-Y. Methuselah. Lived how many years? 967. Long time. And then it said, died age 6 months. And what I'm trying to tell you is this. The titles, the honors, the glory that belongs to Christ is rightfully His. You don't have to worry about his failing We're all failures.
But not him. Not him. You know the problem with religion in our day, especially professing Christianity? Their God is too small. You could put him in a matchbox. But the Jesus of the Bible, this whole universe cannot contain him. How wonderful. How glorious. Oh, goodness. The Lord Jesus saves. This earth knows it. He was imprisoned for 3 days in that tomb. Hell hates it. I just read to you, Wednesday night or last Sunday, you know, about the man that in Mark's gospel, I believe it was, that had so many devils occupying his soul and cut himself and did everything under the sun. Men could not tame him no matter what they had to say or did. And our Lord came and those demons were cast out. If Satan is not subject to Christ, then we're just whistling Dixie. We're just playing. I'm telling you, the Christ of this book is God. He's the only God we'll ever see. Even in eternity, it'll be Christ and Him crucified. Heaven chants this song. You can find it in the Revelation. Time is a witness to it. And eternity will most certainly reveal it. Finally, this name is Christ's personal name forever. It's not a temporary name. It is forever and ever and ever and ever. And looking back the other way, it's been forever and ever and ever. It's always been. It's always been. When God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit form that blessed covenant of grace in old eternity. The Savior, the Lord Jesus, the Savior of sinners, is the centerpiece of that covenant. It is Christ and Him crucified. Jesus is His death name. Even Pilate put it on top of his cross. This is Jesus of Nazareth. It is our Lord's resurrection name. It is His gospel name, such as Matthew 1:21. And if we belong to Him, we'll meet in glory and it'll still be His name in heaven. What a name. What a name. She shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, to take that statement and try to make it universal, that it put away everybody's sin, if that's how you read your Bible, you just well quit reading it. Because you can't understand it like that. If it says he died to put away the sins of his people, that's exactly who he died for. And to try to make it universal, supposedly with the motive of making Christ greater, instead of accomplishing that, you make him worthless. Worthless. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And if we have the true Christ, then we have Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Thank you. Let's do the red book.